Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio on a cloudy Monday afternoon here in Oak Grove. Glad you're with us, Bob, Dee McKelly, the full crew is here. John Miller was the Southern Miss football ops director for many years. He's going to be on the show here in just a few minutes. We're going to get a preview of the Louisiana Raging Cajuns later in the show. So we got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. Opening segment of our show today is always sponsored by our good friends down the street at Movie Star Restaurant. Great place to eat the best buffet in the Pine Belt. They've been serving it up for over 25 years at Movie Star Restaurant. They're open every day except Saturday. So check them out. They're right here in Oak Grove, Movie Star Restaurant. Glad to have you start a new week with us. The final football scrimmage this past Saturday, so I guess fall camp officially now in the books for this new version of the Golden Eagles. Dema Mixon covers all of that for us, of course. All right, Dema, 30,000 feet. Give me your overview.
Well, first I want to say something that happened on Friday night before the scrimmage. Uh-huh. On Friday night before the scrimmage, what? I just want to give my props to Mr. Sander over here. That was the most I've seen him move ever. I've been on, being on the show for 4 years.
Let me just set the table here real quick. Yes. They played the indoor golf.
Yes. For about, which, by the way, indoor golf. I invited him to go play golf, outside golf, but he said, no, I'd rather go play inside
golf. And the
golf.
First thing he said, how long did y'all do that? Maybe an hour or so?
Two.
Almost 2 hours, yeah.
I could barely walk when I got up the next morning. I could barely move.
he couldn't even hit the ball further than 150 yards with the driver.
But he could barely move the next day.
Well, because I had to use my hips, I had to use my back, all those things that I haven't been using in years. I didn't even know those things were there.
His golf clubs looked like, you know, from the 70s or something.
Didn't they really?
They were wooden, you know.
Did you say he shot a 17 on a par 3?
Yes, he did.
That's pretty
good. Played TPC Sawgrass. For those golfer fans who don't know, the 17th hole, which is the famous island green, I birdied Mr. 17.
Yeah, when our guest John Miller just heard he shot a 17 on a par 3, he left the studio. So I guess that he was just so disgusted that he didn't even want to be a part of the show.
I will say this. My language compared to Coach Munkin's, Coach Munkin could be an altar boy compared to some of the words that were coming out of my mouth after putting 6 or 7 in the water on the 17th hole.
At least he wore his baby blue outfit today, his matching blue shorts and T-shirt.
Yeah. And I'm glad.
He was wearing a Bengals polo on Friday night, and that's probably why. He was so bad because he was representing.
I'm surprised he didn't get injured like their quarterback.
No, I was hurt. My back.
Were you?
His back hasn't hurt since college.
Speaking of injuries,
yes,
Ethan Hampton did not play Saturday.
He did not. Yes, and that was kind of the thought. You know, we talked about that on Friday's show. If Ethan Hampton does not play, does that tell us that the injury is worse than possible?
I think we know now, right?
And he obviously didn't play. He didn't even throw the football that I saw from the time I was there. Anderson said he threw a couple of, you know, 20 to 30-yard passes a little bit before the scrimmage. I didn't see that, but, you know, trusting Anderson there that did happen. He didn't have a helmet. He wasn't in pads. He only had a ball cap on, but he was very involved with the offense.
So I'm going to ask you this, Damon, because you sent this to me, and I think Blake Anderson's a great guy. Been very open to the media, easy guy to work with, but I did not understand the reaction to the question. You asked the question, have you accomplished what you wanted to accomplish in fall practice? And coach's response was, that's a trap question. What does that mean? I didn't understand that.
I don't know, because he didn't follow that up by saying we're not a very good football team. But then he kind of chuckled at that answer and went on to say that we did accomplish some things and said that, you know, we have, you know, we feel like we have depth in certain areas. We feel like, you know, from a broad sense, we have this has been good for us to get out here and play football and figure out some things. But there's still a lot of things they haven't figured out. You know, I put out a story this morning about the offensive line, and they still haven't figured out their five there. You know, and now, you know, the three players that they received out of the Colorado ruling, now they're all ineligible because of the new injunction that happened on Friday. So they don't really know what to do there. Obviously, the quarterback situation, you know, who knows what's going on there. I'll be at practice tomorrow morning, so I'll have a good idea. Because Anderson said that he will be 100% on Tuesday. He told us that. So if he is not on Tuesday, tomorrow, 100%, then I think there's an actual issue.
You've been to every practice, both scrimmages. Do you see improvement?
Yes, I think so. I thought this practice was a lot better than – or this scrimmage was a lot better than the first one. The first one to me was kind of messy, which is to be expected. I thought this scrimmage, the defensive line looked really good. I thought the front seven as far as the defense looked pretty good. The cornerbacks probably had their best day I've ever seen them have. A lot of one-on-one contested balls. Normally we've seen them getting beat on a lot of those one-on-one balls, but they were right there in the grill of the wide receivers knocking away balls. I don't remember a long pass being completed, and that's not to say that it was because of bad quarterback throws. It's because of how good the cornerbacks played on Saturday. On the offensive side, the offensive line still struggled, gave up 8 sacks. They had 9 to 10 in the first scrimmage, so that's about 17 sacks in 2 scrimmages. So that's a area of concern. But I kind of put out the argument that I think that's more showing of maybe what the defensive line could be, and maybe it isn't. I thought they ran the ball much better than the first scrimmage. Steven Robinson is a back that you're going to get to know. Robert Briggs was in full participant. That was the first time he'd been in full participant, and actually got to speak to him after practice. So all in all, I thought it was a huge step in the right direction. And now as they – generally this week would be game week because the people who run college football are really dumb. They want this season to go on until May, apparently, and so we're waiting another week for week one, and because the season ends in February.
So only 2 weeks, 2 days of practice this week, theoretically, and then game week is next week. Game preparation for Alcorn. But back on these injunctions with these judges, did the Colorado judge have a full house and the Louisiana judge had a royal flush? And then overrule the Colorado. I mean, I just don't understand how these judges can just throw out these rulings. And I mean, look at the money it costs Southern Miss and other schools, I'm sure, who were in the same boat, to fly these guys back to town.
Yeah.
Even had them participate in a couple of practices. Yeah, then a few days later, no, it's all off the table.
I got an idea, Kelly. The federal judges should just stay the hell out of college athletics.
I agree with that.
That's the answer, I think.
But I mean, I just don't understand why is... So Colorado says you can, and then Louisiana says you can't, and then that's for everybody?
We're waiting on Oregon.
John Miller's in the studio today. He'd probably be better able to address this than anybody we know, but it's just
Smart.
A mess.
John's smart. He's not in college athletics anymore. He's the smartest guy
Important
in the room.
Important to note, though, that the three players did practice on Saturday. Nunnery, Maui, and Lewis all practiced.
We'll clarify the situation, because I don't fully understand.
So we asked Anderson and what their status was, and he said since the Louisiana ruling, which basically blanket ruled all those 2022 players ineligible to play, he said now that those three players they got are ineligible. They're ineligible to play, but they're not ineligible to practice, is what he said. So they're going to keep practicing them. In case there's another ruling.
Is that not just absolutely ridiculous?
It was hard for me to understand that. Logic.
One thing I'm looking forward to having Mr. Miller on the show. He knows Todd Monken. I want to get his view of how Todd Monken privately handled the situation with the Ole Miss player who left Ole Miss, went to the Browns, now he's going to LSU. Do I have that right? It's hard to keep up with.
Yes, it is. That's
well, if you're going to have him describe Monken's result, do you have the button working today?
Yes, and I did read where Todd Monken said, and I love Todd Monken to begin with, but Lane Kiffin called me last week. I never called him back. Maybe I should have.
Now I know what he wanted to talk about, probably.
Dima, what do you make of this craziness? So are the three kids on the team or not?
They are.
There's medication for that, Dima.
And that sums up college football.
They are on the practice squad. I think we can firmly say that. I don't even know if they're officially – they were officially on the roster before Friday's ruling. I don't know if they're officially on the roster now, but they can practice.
Has a judge ruled whether or not they can suit up?
So what I understand about the ruling is that three players have to get their own individual judges to rule on their specific case. but that's what was reported. But that's what, you know, sources told me that that Southern Miss will try to do for those three players.
Do you think if they found that same judge up in Oxford that ruled their quarterback eligible, that he would rule the Southern Miss players eligible?
I don't know. Since Trinidad had some tonsil issues, I'm sure he does. Since he gets an extra year for tonsil issues.
Well, thank God he bought his $5 million mansion. Yeah. That's all I can say.
But in the words of Joe Biden, we beat Medicare.
Is that my granddaughter out there?
That's about the only thing that makes
this
sense
show
anymore.
Needs to get better. People have already shut it off, and we have a great guest about to come on. Yeah.
Well, thank God they threw the man out of the WNBA game for supporting women. I'm glad of that. Now the world is right.
Well, we are stirring up every pot there is to stir this morning.
There's some other things we could say.
And John Miller has definitely left the building now. He's not coming on after this.
I'm encouraged, though, with what Dima had to say, that overall,
the team
looks better.
I agree.
And hopefully it's just a matter of pulling it together here in the next couple of weeks.
Hey, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team may not be fun this year, but most times it is. You can always take care of the most important player, though, and that's make sure you get an annual physical. Eat right and take care. Something you want to say, Sander? Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, MCS Home Center reminds you that for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, they are the place to see. Everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden is available at our good friends at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. We're happy to say that we will be out there next Friday. 1 week from Friday, the day before football kicks off, we will be at MCS Home Center, and we understand a number of players are going to be joining us, so we'll obviously look forward to that. This segment is sponsored by Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West, where you go for premium Goodyear and other major products, other major brand products. Full service auto and truck service as well. AC work included. Big Southern Miss supporters, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Glad to have John Miller in the studio with us. He was the director of football operations at Southern Miss from 96 to 2012 and has a SEC experience too, I believe, as well. Mr. Miller, good to have you back in the studio. Thank you, sir.
Glad to be here.
When you hear about things as insane as a man that's playing for the Cleveland Browns going back to Ole Miss, I mean back to LSU, played at Ole Miss, are you kind of glad you're out of it?
I am. I enjoy being on the tractor at the farm and let it be somebody else's.
So as a man that spent a lot of years in collegiate athletics, you know, guys like us can talk and bloviate all we want, but we've never really been there like you have. As a guy that invested a lot of your adult life in it, what is really your thought about what you're seeing now in college athletics?
It's sad in a lot of ways, just because I can go back to Jeff Bauer days and mentoring kids, and it wasn't about the finances of it, and it was more about turning young men into grown men, mm-hmm. and just being a major part in their life, and then helping develop skills of being a good football player. And I think that's kind of fallen by the wayside, and just more so of just the developmental piece of it. They're skipping around different coaches every year, and so the developmental piece is falling by the wayside.
What do you say to a guy like me that would ask you this question? Can you now, in today's world, explain to me the difference in a professional and an amateur athlete?
Not really, no. Other than a professional athlete has a real agent, and the college people are dealing with more so a runner, not even a certified
advisors. We're here.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
Here, call.
Yeah, I've heard them all that.
Yeah.
And which is sad because it's not going to end well for a lot of them. You know what I mean? When you're talking about getting in the portal and you got 1,200 kids in the portal and, you know, they leave a place that, you know, they could call home after 4 or 5 years and now they have no home. And then all of a sudden they're in the portal and don't get picked up, wind up making less money. I mean, it's just story after story of different scenarios that are just disasters for a kid's life.
Well, and the thing, too, is, John, like if this player that Bob used in the example, so he goes from the Cleveland Browns back to LSU. Let's suppose he was an unsigned free agent with the Browns, but let's just hypothetically say he was eligible for the draft, NFL draft. Do the Browns retain his rights because he signed with the Browns? I mean, there's all these other entanglements, too, that you got to deal with that you never had to deal with before.
Yeah, and I think it throws a major curveball for the NFL, PA, and just how they're going to handle it, just because of what you said, Kelly.
And isn't it also logical to me, this might seem far-fetched to people, but that this would trickle down now to high school players, that there would be some parents who are so maniacal about wanting a winning team that could be a high school athlete's job is to play football. We will pay you to be our quarterback at the high school level.
Yeah, I mean, it's so out of control. I mean, we've been to the legislature with Tommy Tuberville when I was at Auburn and just trying to – and then, of course, Coach Saban made a charge and trying to get it fixed. And in college football, if Coach Saban can't get it fixed, it might be unfixable. I mean, got on a mission to try to help, and there's just no movement at all, it seems like.
And so now, the news last week came out that naming rights, and we thought it was going to happen at Southern Miss because Ole Miss had announced that it was happening there. Good idea, bad idea, or mixed?
Naming
rights. Yeah, naming rights to stadiums and things like that, selling this corporate sponsorship, naming the stadiums.
You know, I don't have a problem with that, really. It's just I think that's fine. But once you get into the player side and start putting it on the jersey, that's kind of –
That's coming, we hear.
That is coming, yes. That's what I hear as well. And that's where the problems exist.
You think you'll see that here in Hattiesburg?
I think you will, yeah. I mean, I think you will. I think it'll be a once it starts nationally, I think it'll be a trickle.
So now, will there be some regulation of that, or will we eventually see college football teams looking like NASCAR shirts?
I think you'll see, you know, one name on a jersey, but then it's not uniformly because it's not going to be the same company. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're going to find out how much power the players have at that point.
You're not optimistic, are you, sir?
I am not. I am in a situation I'm in for a reason because I felt like this was coming. Mm-hmm. I just saw it time after time, year after year. You just couldn't keep up with the rules. I can remember being under NCAA sanctions at Ole Miss, and not one of those are illegal at this point.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, and that was not that long ago.
And who do you think will be the most adversely affected, the small schools or the schools in the big leagues with all the money?
I think it'll be a mutual deal. I think you're seeing it'll be a different set of problems, but they both have problems. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Kelly today, I saw Blake Anderson at the golf course in passing, and I was just, you know, intrigued about the football team because I'm back home, I'm going to support them. And and he just – this was in the summertime, and he just didn't know. He had 70 new players and not one returning starter. And it took me about 2 days to process that because I've never been a part of something like that. And I don't know how you – I mean, that is a very tough job.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what is the answer? I mean, if you could wave a magic wand, John, and take care of all this, what are some things – one or two bullet points – that you would tackle first?
Yeah, I think you've got to only allow them to transfer once.
Agree.
And once that is, they fall back under the old rule of they must sit out a year if they do transfer more than once. That will stop a lot of it.
Agree.
From the trickle-down effect of, you know, I felt like it was when I was at Auburn and Ole Miss, I felt like it was affecting the mid-majors until I got to Hattiesburg and lived here and started understanding what Blake and them were going through and talking to Barney and different people. And
Barney Farrar.
Yeah, and how much it really affected the mid-majors. It's really, really sad.
One question that we get asked a lot, and I'll ask you this, John, because you obviously have a lot of experience at Southern Miss. The air quotes glory days of Southern Miss, will they ever return in the current football landscape?
I think they could, with some rule changes. And the Big Ten and the SEC, you know, need to go do their own thing. And once they can get that separated, and then let the mid-majors have their own championships, and I think that would be huge.
You'd be in favor of that?
I would be in favor of it.
I would too.
Yeah, I just think I didn't realize that when you're working in the Southeastern Conference, you don't really – it's not on your radar every day. Since I've gotten back here, the separation is so big. Mm-hmm. You give these guys no chance, and then every right. chance you get, you bury them in the sand, their head in the sand, and it's yeah. not fair.
I want to follow up on Kelly's question. He just asked a really good question, and I would ask you to clarify this. Return to the glory days. Does that mean returning to a level you can compete in the Sun Belt? Because I don't ever see the time back when I covered Southern Miss, they could go to Alabama, Auburn, Florida State, and have a chance to win every single time they went to those games. I think those days are over. Those days are not coming back.
I would totally agree with you. The Jeff Bauer days of Jeff having a team that was
nationally competitive.
People wouldn't play him, and when they did, they had their hands full for 60 minutes. And then it got to where it was hard for Coach to schedule games just because of the amount of the competition he would mm-hmm. bring into the stadium. I can remember going to Birmingham and Derek Nix physically beating up Alabama, and we went in 21-0. You know, now with them paying all these players and they're going out and getting elite five-star players on every position, it's just not happening.
It's not going to ever happen again.
No, I mean, you take it, a guy like T.J. Slaughter back in the day that was really a four- or five-star player, you know, before they started putting stars on there, he would have never stepped foot on this campus. He would have been
right.
– I mean, he would have been –
Or if he'd have come, he'd only been here 1 year.
Correct.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And he would be making $800,000 at some other location, you know what I mean?
Correct.
And you couldn't blame him, you know.
Right.
So I don't think we could – get the caliber players that we can, but we can get these local Mississippi kids
and compete in the Sun Belt.
Right. I would agree with you.
But see, back in the Bauer years and even before then, John, you didn't have South Al competing for athletes. You didn't have Troy going into the Florida Panhandle and grabbing some of these guys. And the Eagles used to get, pardon me, all of those guys from the Florida Panhandle.
Randy Butler was probably one of the. I mean, he could go into Monroeville, Mobile, the Panhandle, and I mean, did a phenomenal job. And Coach was, of course, come in there and close the deal. But just, I mean, those days are over with just because you got, like you said, South Alabama's cut that off. Troy now just don't go get national Prop 48 players. They're recruiting against Southern Miss in those same areas, and it's just a little bit more congested.
How are you ever going to compete against a team that has former Cleveland Browns on the roster?
I don't know. And there's probably more to come.
Mr. Miller, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
All right, yep.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Time for the Super Talk Eagle Hour 2026 Sun Belt Football Countdown, sponsored by Hancock Whitney Bank.
At Hancock Whitney, we know strong communities are built through teamwork, dedication, and tradition, the same values that define Southern Miss Athletics. I'm Daniel Stewart, business banker at Hancock Whitney. We're proud to support Eagle Hour and the student athletes, alumni, and fans who make Golden Eagle Nation so special. Whether you're buying a home, growing your business, planning for retirement, or simply looking for a trusted financial partner, our team is here to help you every step of the way. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. proud to support Southern Miss. To the top.
All right, Kelly, you did a great job again this year on all of our previews. Who we got today?
Michael DeSormo is the head football coach of Louisiana, and they do things differently at Louisiana. They don't go to the transfer portal. They go after hometown talent, and that's one of the reasons Coach Dess, as they call him, thinks that the Cajuns have been so successful. And he was a quarterback at Louisiana, you know, played at Louisiana, and became the head coach about three seasons ago. And you could tell he was a little bit unsure, but as he has grown into that position, you can see now he takes the job with has a lot more confidence. And this is a formula, Dima, that has worked for them, where they're not going into the transfer portal. They're keeping guys. They're recruiting guys from the different high schools and developing them, and they think that because they're getting that respect from the players, that allows them to keep these
Cajun
guys.
Cajun head coach Michael DeSormo, as we welcome you, Coach. Let's talk about your offense first of all. You know, the pass completion last year was about 55%. Is that a number that you like? Ideally, where would you like your pass completion percentage to be?
No, I mean, for me, ideally, you want around 70%. You know, especially with the quick pass game and stuff that we do. You know, we got off to a really slow start last year throwing the football. And, you know, early in the year, we had the drops, and we kind of had to work through a lot of stuff. And, you know, we ended up kind of working through three quarterbacks before we found our guy. And, you know, and certainly his first year as a starter, he had ups and downs. Finished the year on a really high note, but no, that's something we got to improve on. I mean, 55% is incredibly low. You know, when we've had our best offenses, we've been more around 65%. You know, I think 70 is a really high number. But I mean, shoot, you know, you're gonna, you know, aim for something that's impressive. And, you know, not average.
And other teams' defenses have a say in that.
That's right. There's no question.
30 seems to be a magic number, because when you guys scored 30 points, you won just about every game you played. I think you only lost one where you scored more than 30. So, talk to us about your running game depth. Is it where you'd like it to be?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously we lost a couple good backs, yeah. You know, that, you know, in the nature of what college football is. I feel really good about the young backs that we have. You know, Steven Blanco played for us a little bit last year. Darrell Smith played a little bit, and then J.J. Garner, redshirt, didn't play much. But those three guys, I think, are really talented. You know, we've always been fortunate and had good backs. It starts with the offensive line, you know, which last year was a group that I felt really good about before we had all the injuries. But, you know, you get a lot of those guys back. So, you know, we've got eight right now that you feel really good about competing for starting spots. You always like to get to 9 or 10 that you feel really good about playing. But no, I mean, I think, you know, it starts with being able to run the ball. We have a quarterback who runs it well too. But I think at running back, you know, we're a lot better than people think, you know, just because of what we lost. But, you know, that's part of college football. You know, you're gonna have young guys that have to play.
But on the other side of the coin, a lot of people have lofty expectations for your team in the West. I think because you have that starting quarterback, which a lot of teams, you know, don't have. Talk to us about the skill set of Lunch Winfield.
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing before you even get in a skill set is the intangible stuff. You know what I mean? The guy is as tough as nails, man. He is tough. He is gritty. He's competitive. And he's a phenomenal leader. You know, he's a guy that your team rallies around, which at quarterback, that's the most important thing. You know, skill set-wise, he's a tremendous runner. He can run with power, and he has some elusiveness to him. As a passer is where I think he's underrated. And that's something that I think for us, we've continued to work on improving for him, because he does throw the ball well. He makes good decisions in the throw game. He's shown at times that he can throw with really incredible accuracy and play really well. We've just got to do it a little bit more consistently. And that's been the challenge for him is, hey, every day when you show up, it's passer first, runner second. And, you know, and that's something he's embraced, you know, for him with his game and the way he plays, you know, to keep him healthy the whole year. He's going to have to throw the ball a little bit more frequently and trust that a little bit more than maybe what he did last year at times.
Talking to some of your colleagues, they thought that comparatively speaking, you guys were fairly quiet compared to the other teams in the transfer portal. When you decide to get as active or as inactive as you want to be, how do you make those decisions?
Well, for us, it's kind of simple. You know, our philosophy is we're going to replace every senior on our roster with a high school senior. And we're going to recruit high school kids. and then we replaced throughout the portal as needed with losses that you have. You know, we only lost, I think, those 10 scholarship players in the portal. So we signed three over with high school guys, so we only took six, I think, portal guys. So for us, you know, it's not a world that I really want to live in. You know, by nature, yeah, we're young this year because we signed 21 high school guys last year and 20 the year before, so we graduated a lot of seniors. But I think you get a better – I think the quality that you get when you're talking about numbers, I think recruiting high school kids, you get to recruit a quality kid that you spend a lot more time with. You know, you get a kid that's picking your school for the right reasons, in my opinion, not because something didn't work somewhere else. And then I think you have a better chance to retain them, you know, whenever you recruit them from whenever they're young and you develop them and you give them opportunities. I mean, so nobody's comfortable with having a young team anymore because they just go to the portal and try to sign older guys. I think if you have good young players, you play them. And you don't get to be have a bad day when things aren't going your way because there's a lot of people that are looking at you every day that need some guidance and direction. And, you know, you find out what you're capable of, you know, in a year like last year, whenever you're 2-6 and you're, you know, on life support, and you got to find a way to make the people in there believe. And, you know, I was proud of our staff and our players and the way they finished. You know, we had a tough run. You know, I mean, after that Marshall game, we had JMU, we had Southern Miss, who was playing really good at the time, and we had Troy, who was playing really good at the time, those three in a row. And, you know, we had to kind of figure out who we were, you know, down to your third quarterback with in and out, you know, on the offensive line. And, you know, I was proud of our operation for figuring out a way to do it. Start a little faster this year, hopefully stay healthy, and, you know, try to find a way to get back in that, you know, conference championship.
Louisiana head coach Michael Decimo, continued success. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Kelly.
I agree with everything Coach just said. I'm going to ask both of you, can you survive in college football with that philosophy in today's world?
I hope so.
I hope so too, Kelly.
And I think so. Because I think the one line that you can underscore about three times, Bob, is when he said, I want guys that we recruit who choose us, not guys where things didn't work out somewhere else.
1,000%.
Because if their heart is there, then they're going to be easier to retain, and you can do some developing knowing that there's a less chance that you're going to lose them. So when you are one of these mid-majors and you don't have to compete in the Big Ten or SEC or whatever conference it might be, you're going to have a better chance the more you can keep these guys around. Yeah. And what did he say, seven guys is all they got out of the portal?
You did 10 coaches interviews. That's the best one you did right there. That to me said more about that coach than anything I learned about any other coach I heard.
And again, Dima, they've got experience with Lunch, the quarterback. I mean, when you look at those favorites, the way they lined them up, and it's all based on generally what they had back in the quarterback department.
Yes, and the thing is with the philosophy for Louisiana is that philosophy is only okay if you're fine with having a good team every 3 years. Because the problem with that philosophy, at least nowadays, is that a lot of fan bases want, you know, every single season them competing for a conference championship game. And if they're going to do it the old way, which to their credit, it may work. But the problem is if they're just not going to get any transfers, you know, next year when all these players leave, they're going to have playing a bunch of freshmen and sophomores.
And you know what else, Demi? You got to have an administration that really backs you up to do
sure.
that.
Sure. So, yeah. I mean, props to them if it works, but if it doesn't, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I picked Louisiana to win the West in the preseason media poll. I really like that team. I think they have a lot on defense. They're well coached. A lot of their tougher games at home. I feel like the schedule just sets up nicely for them. So I expect Louisiana to be right there in the West discussion.
I agree. Kelly?
Man, Troy, you got Troy that's loaded in that quarterback department too. Louisiana's got a returning starter. You know Butch Jones as the dean of coaches in the Sun Belt, and he's got SEC experience with Tennessee and
Tech's
up at Cincinnati.
Now in the mix.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech with what Sonny Cumbie's got going over there. They're loaded in the quarterback department. So it's going to be when you win the West, I really feel like, barring injuries, you've done something.
All right, good job, Kelly. When Kelly left playing golf with Adema Friday night, he went straight to Mo Bay Beignet, undoubtedly, at 18-20 beignets.
After Forest Health.
Cold coffee, and then he checked in at Forest Health, yes. So Kelly really utilized the sponsors all weekend.
As you should too, listeners.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad you're with us on a Monday afternoon. I want to thank our good buddies over at Genesis of Hattiesburg for all they do for our program, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Mo Bay Beignet Company, great place to go for a wonderful dessert. And, of course, I want to thank our good friends out at Jewel Masters Jewelry Store out on Highway 98 West, where they buy gold and silver. And we should point out, too, they do other things other than that. They do custom-made jewelry, and I can just tell you, as my wife said one time, it's always a good Christmas morning when there's a Jewel Masters box under the tree. So they can sell you beautiful jewelry at Jewel Masters.
Until she opens it and see that there's no jewelry in it, it's,
yeah. Yeah, I used the Jewel Masters box just to get her all happy and excited.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
All right. You imagine going in there and be like, can I just buy a ring box?
Can I just have the box, please?
I don't want a ring, just the box. You like propose to someone.
You got any news and notes?
Soccer in action yesterday. Uh-huh. They went up to Starkville, lost a 4-0 decision up there in Starkville. So Danny Owens' squad off to a 1-2 start. They're back in action later on this week. In volleyball, opens the season this Friday at home in the Black and Gold, annual Black and Gold Classic.
A soccer team is having trouble scoring points.
Yep. I mean,
just getting goals. some goals. Yeah, they get down at McNeese, they got
blanked,
and then at Mississippi State. Of course, you know, SEC, Mississippi State's pretty good. But you at least want to get some find the back of the net, and hopefully when they come back this Thursday, I think they're playing at the Marshall Bell Center out at Southern Miss, that they'll be able to score some goals.
Demo, what's wrong with your Saints?
Man, I don't know. That was kind of alarming a little bit. I know it's a preseason game, but getting your butts whipped by the – I know the Rams are the Rams, but it's a little concerning. You know, I was kind of high on the Saints team, but I've been a little concerned over the last two preseason games, of course.
Didn't play their quarterback, but then again, I'm betting the Rams didn't play Matthew Stafford.
No, I don't think they did. No, I don't know. We'll see.
But as poorly as the Saints play, there's one really good guy, a Southern Miss guy, who is playing terrific. Now, look, he happens to play for the Bengals, so I don't want you guys to poo-poo.
There we go.
But Swayze Bozeman is playing great football for Cincinnati. He starred as a linebacker this past Friday in the Bengals win. That entire defense has completely turned around. I know it's preseason, but I'm just saying from they were 0-4 the last two preseasons. Yeah. They're 2-0 this preseason.
This is the same guy that at the start of the Major League Baseball season was telling us how great a start that Detroit Tigers were off to.
Yeah. No, I'm just looking forward to drafting Joe Flacco in my fantasy draft this Saturday.
Joe Flacco's not our starter.
No, he will be. He will be after week two or three. Yes.
So you're saying Burrow's going to get hurt again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that.
Well, that may or may not be the case, but at least we've got a guy younger behind Joe Flacco.
What is he, 40?
39.
Oh, 39.
Josh Johnson.
So the Bengals literally have two quarterbacks, one that's 39 and one that's in his mid-40s?
Yeah, Flacco, who is Burrow's backup, is 42. And
this
Josh,
is why they never won a Super Bowl.
Josh Johnson is 39, but they got NIL deals with the Claiborne, so good for them.
Well, you know? They could show Flacco, back up in the SEC.
I was going to say, if Flacco doesn't play for the Bengals this year, it won't be long before Georgia comes calling.
Yeah, or LSU.
What
Lane's really after them NFL players. Yeah.
All right, here's your trivia question for the day. What now Conference USA school did Joe Flacco go to? Now Conference USA school. Joe Flacco graduated from what school?
I have no
Where's
idea.
The Jeopardy theme? We don't have
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't keep up with backup Bengals quarterbacks.
He was
No one does.
He was a Blue Hen.
No, the Delaware Blue Hens.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, he went to Delaware. So, and we had a U.S. president from
Delaware.
Well,
he will definitely be able to lead the Bengals to the Super Bowl.
Hey, if he happens to be the lucky guy, he happens to be the lucky guy. But this is our year.
No, how are the Tigers doing?
We're talking. This is football season.
I actually did look this weekend to see, because I remembered how he was bragging to us about the Tigers. They're like 8 games under .500.
Well, we traded.
Are they going to make the playoffs?
We traded Tarek Skubal.
Did you?
So, yeah. Aubrey Gillentine, former Southern Miss pitcher, now the pitching coach at Pearl River Community College.
Was going to be on the show today.
He's going to join us later on this week, and we've got our. Our football previews continuing with
we're going to hear from the Cure Bowl and the Independence Bowl this week, which I think will be interesting.
Yeah, I think so too, because you don't really know the inner workings of how those bowl teams secure their teams and the pecking order that's involved and how they have to be in communication with one another.
Maybe all we hear about a bowl this year.
Yeah, we might get to choose from two or three.
Bob's just wanting this to be clipped on Twitter.
Well, no, because I know they'll come after you. See, I'm not on all that social media, so you'll be Mr. Negative.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
No, you had a good report, and I was happy to hear that. Yeah. I hope obviously the football team does very well.
Yeah,
obviously.
High school football in action this week.
Yeah,
for game one's week one in high school. What does Jeff Davis have?
They play Madison Ridgeland Academy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they public
probably
versus
won't
private
win that game.
That's at Jeff Davis's Friday.
They're pretty good.
FanFest was also Saturday. See a lot of kids there.
Yeah,
that's pretty
crowd.
Cool.
Yeah, 300, 400 people.
Hot?
Yeah, very hot.
Hot.
Not as hot as the week before.
I think maybe I detected it was a tad cooler this weekend.
Probably like 3 degrees.
Yeah, maybe. I'll take it.
Yes, we'll take it for sure.
My grass will take it, especially the brown grass. They would really like to have it. All right, we're going to have a great show for you all week as we count down to football.
12 days.
Hard to believe, isn't it? We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Southern Miss,
to the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.